Hey guys, it's your girl Dee Dee, and you're tuned in to the Called Out podcast, where it's all things pertaining to Christ. Yes, guys, I'm back with another episode. Yes, today's episode, we're going to be talking about prayer. The reason why I chose this episode is because, honestly, I think a lot of people in today's age, like, continuously ask me, Dee Dee, how do you pray? What's prayer? And, like, it's something that a lot of people tend to overthink, I think. And it's crazy because literally on Sunday, like, I was getting ready for church and I was doing a little prayer, you know what I'm saying? And I literally said to God, like, God, whatever it is that, you know, I need to remember, remind me now. And as I was praying that, literally 2 seconds after, I literally remembered something that I had to bring for Sunday, because the Sunday before that I'd forgot it and I had to go back home to get it. So this Sunday I was like, God, like, if there's something that I'm forgetting, remind me. Literally 2 seconds, no joke, 2 seconds, I remembered it. And I was literally getting gassed. I was just like, God, like, this is crazy. Like, I've just prayed and you just told me. But then I was just thinking about in Acts chapter 12, like, the disciples, when they were praying for Peter to be released from prison, or they was praying for Peter, and Peter turns up at the door now, and they're literally confused. Like, how can this things be? So I was like, do you know what? Today I'm going to do an episode about prayer. So that's the intro to prayer. So you guys, from this episode, you're going to learn, why do we pray? How do we pray? Scriptures on people that prayed, people that didn't pray, and the result of, you know, prayerlessness, why people don't pray, and what it actually means if you're lacking in prayer. How to up you, because, you know, some people be calling me prayer warrior. So, you know, I'm just going to help you guys as the prayer warrior here. So firstly, we're just going to open up in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in your name, Lord, to teach your people about prayer. Lord, I just want to pray for boldness as I lead this episode, that you will speak through me, God, that your Holy Spirit will truly be present here today. And as a result of this episode, people will learn how to pray and their prayer will increase, oh Heavenly Father, and they won't feel shy or embarrassed to come before you and pray, because we understand that your word says that we should pray. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yeah, guys, taking you back, literally taking you back, so to Sunday. Cool. So I gave you guys a little story time. Now I'm going to tell you guys about Acts chapter 12. So in Acts chapter 12, verses 12, right, it says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Firstly, guys, the scripture says that they were gathered together praying. They weren't gathered together speaking, crying. They were gathered together praying. And then it says in verse 13 that Peter knocked at the door of their gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. So essentially, backtrack, Peter is in prison. And the disciples, they literally said the church was literally gathered praying for him. And now we're seeing that they went to the house of Mary. And they were, what were they doing again? They were praying. So these people, they seem like, yeah, they're prayer warriors. They're praying, they're interceding for Peter. They're believing God that, you know, shifting's going to happen. When I was doing study into this, though, a lot of people were kind of saying, many people assume that they were praying for Peter to be released from prison. But it doesn't specifically say that they were praying for him to be released. It just says that they were praying. But I guess you would think that they're praying for him to be released, although they were probably just praying, you know, let God's will be done, etc. Regardless, what they were praying for, now we see in verse 13 that Peter's knocking on the door. So they're gathered in the house praying, and now Peter's knocking on the door. Now, in verse 14, it says, when she, Rhoda, the person who answered the door, recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. So she's come to the door, she's seen Peter, she's like so excited. So she just runs back. She didn't even open the door, didn't even let him in. Cool. And then verse 15, this is the disciples who were gathered together praying. It says, but they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. And I literally thought, all my days, like, this was literally me on Sunday. Like, these people are gathered together praying. They're in the upper room travailing. They're praying, Lord, you know, we're praying for Peter. Now Peter ends up at the door, because if you backtrack verses, we see that the angel, you know, opened up, broke the chains and allowed him to be released from prison. And now they're praying for Peter, obviously not knowing that this whole, you know, amazing thing has happened, that he's been broken free by an angel. But now he's at the door, and literally they said, you are beside yourself. Like, this is crazy. It's like you know somebody telling you something, you're saying, don't be crazy, like, don't be silly, like, that's ridiculous, like, that thing cannot happen. But I find it so mad, because why were they praying? Like, why were you praying if you didn't believe that it could happen. I guess it's like sometimes we pray for things and you don't believe that God can actually show up right then. And that's what I think, like that's what I think that the disciples were kind of like, because it's like they're praying with Lord, we're praying for Peter, we're praying for Peter. Peter literally turns up at the door in the midst, like when they're in the midst of prayer, and they're like, listen, girl, Rhoda, you're beside yourself. That cannot be Peter at the door. And literally, even it said she kept insisting. She's like, yeah, no, it is him. And they're like, it's his angel. So firstly, they're saying, no, you're beside yourself, it can't be. And because she keeps saying it, they're like, okay, cool, it has to be his angel then. Like, nothing in their mind could have comprehended the fact that it was actually Peter, physical Peter in his body. Like, he was actually there. And so when I was praying on Sunday, and I was like, God, you know, bring to my remembrance, and he literally did in 1 second, I was like, bringing up God, I was like, God, wow, you're real. Like, you really be answering my prayers. Like, you know when you just be like, wow, God, like, when God shows up and you're just like, whoa. I was like that, but then it literally reminded me of this, because I was like, wow. I was like, do you know what? Sometimes don't be someone who just prays because it's something that we do. Like, oh, you know, I'll just pray about this situation, but you don't actually believe that it will happen. Because I feel like the disciples, like, you look at them and, you know, big them up. They did great and mighty things. You know, they raised dead, healed the sick, all these things that they did. But in this element, you can kind of see maybe they had a lack of faith in that time, because it's like, you're praying for God to do, you know, the impossible, for God to help Peter, and God has literally delivered him right to your door, and you're literally like questioning it, saying, no, this cannot be, which is just so crazy. And I just think that's the humanity, like, of us. It's like, sometimes, like, we understand and we know that God can do all things because we've seen him do amazing things. But I think sometimes it's hard to, like, just always maintain that faith and just be like, no, God, like, I'm praying, believing that you actually will. And that's the type of, like, prayer that Jesus wants us to do. Like, he wants us to have a prayer of faith. In James, it talks about a person who's praying, but they're double-minded. It's like, it even says, let not that man believe that he'll even receive anything. Because when you're going to God and you don't actually believe that he can do it, it's like, firstly, what's the point of even praying if you don't believe? Secondly, it's actually an offense. It's an offense. Like, imagine you're going before God and you're praying for something and you're like, but you know what? Like, I don't even know if you can do it. Then it's like, do not believe that he's sovereign. Do not believe that he's almighty. To him, it's like, rah, like, really? But by God's grace, his mercy anyway, even in this, with their lack of faith, we still see God's hand move. Peter was still delivered, and Peter still, you know, went to them, and finally they managed to see him. But I just think, yeah, like, one thing that Jesus loves is the prayer of faith. Like, I'm currently in the book of Matthew, and I'm seeing, like, faith, just faith, so much faith. Like, today at Matthew chapter 9, you know, was talking about faith. Like, we see the woman with the issue of blood, she had faith. We see the centurion in this chapter. Like, many, many times in Matthew, we're seeing people who have faith. Even in today's chapter, I saw that the man's friends had faith. And it's like, there's just so many different elements of faith, and faith is so important. Like, so first and foremost, when you come before God, always come before God believing, like, believing that God can do the impossible. And if he doesn't show up in the way that you want to, then obviously it's not his will, it's not his plan in that time, but his will always prevail nonetheless. So that kind of thing, it humbled me. I was just like, wow, like, you know, when sometimes you read the Bible and you're like, oh my days, how could these people be like that? Like, many people are like that with Eve, like, oh my days, Eve, how could you do that? But more time, you'd be doing the same thing as Eve all the time, disobeying God. He's told you one thing and you're doing another thing. Literal Eve, in modern day Eve. So when you read the Bible, it's always good to know that the Bible is there. Like, it's never outdated. It's always actually relevant. And you can always see something in there for you that can be like, wow, like, this is a real life thing that's happened to me. But yeah, so guys, basically, now I'm going to teach you guys, like, basically what I do. So with my prayer, one thing about me is I love to do prayer walks. I spoke to people, and some people don't like prayer walks. They feel like they get tired when they do prayer walks. I don't walk, like, so fast when I do prayer walks. In fact, I'm even strolling. I love it so much. Like, I go, like, I have this park near my house, so I literally go around the park, and it's just amazing to pray and walk. I don't know, it just helps me. Like, I love to walk around. I've always, like, I know some people are kneelers. Like, my brother, when I see him pray, he's always kneeling down. Like, that's his thing. For me, if I kneel down, I might fall asleep. I don't know, I might. But for me, I'm just, like, walking. I'm a walker. So I started these prayer walks in May. So in May, basically, I had this conviction. It was just like, oh my days. It was before I started this new job. So now my job, the earliest I start is at 10. So I do 10, 11s and 12. So the earliest I start is at 10. So more time, I don't have to wake up early. But back then I was starting at 8. I was doing 8 to 4s. So and essentially, like, I would have to leave by like 7, so I would have to get ready by like 6:30, and at that time, like before May, I was just being so lazy. Like, I would wake up literally when I have to get out of bed and get ready. So then I would be like in the shower and I'm like, okay, praying. And obviously you can pray in the shower. Like, today I prayed in the shower. Like, you can pray in the shower, because one thing about Christianity is it's not so structured. Like, God isn't like, oh, you can't pray when you're in your bed, you can't pray when you're outside, you can't pray this. You have to pray certain times, you have to pray. No, like, with us, by God's grace, we have liberty, cry. And I'll even get into that, because us having liberty, some people be taking it for granted. But yeah, so I was doing that prayer, getting ready. So I was basically doing kind of, I would say it's the bare minimum. It's like, you just get out of bed, you're in the shower, you're praying, you're just kind of taking it as it is. Like, you're not actually going above and beyond to kind of, okay, wake up extra earlier to like read your Bible, to like pray. So like, I was doing that and I was like, cool. Like, but then I just felt the heavy conviction. It was just like, wow. Like, it was just like, yeah, you're just doing the bare minimum. Like, you're not even doing anything. And it's like, in like the stage I am in Christ, it's like, you can't be doing the bare minimum. You've been in Christ for a few years. Like, it's time to like discipline, just wake up earlier, you know? So I just felt that heavy conviction. So I was like, cool. As I said, I started at 8. So the time to wake up, I was like, cool, I'll wake up at 5. I'll do 1 hour. And then, you know, then I'll start getting ready and stuff. So I said, cool. And I was like, cool, I'm going to start doing prayer walks. Because for me, I was like, if I wake up at 5 and I want to pray in my room, best believe, as soon as I open my eyes and I see 5, I'm going to go back to bed. So I was like, okay, cool. What I'll do is I'll start doing prayer walks. And obviously in May, it's still summertime. So by 5, the sun was actually like risen. So it was actually bright. Now, in this October, 5 a.m., it's pitch black. But back then, it was different. So I started my prayer walks. Honestly, I remember vlogging it for the first few days. I was so gassed. I was like, yes, prayer walks in the park, you know. It's not like it was bare bright, but it was not pitch black like it is in this month. And yeah, so I was just so gassed. I was like, yeah, I was vlogging it. Like, yeah, this is day one of my prayer walks, taking it to another phase, going harder, going deeper for Christ. I was so excited. And I kept doing that. And then obviously with my church, we do June fast and Jan fast. So then May, I started the custom of the prayer walk. So then June fast, it was like light work. This is my custom. Like, I wake up at 5, I'm going to do my prayer walks. So yeah, I started those prayer walks in May. So we're now in October. I'd be lying if I said every single day I've done it. Like, there's been some days where 5 a.m. I'm still sleeping. I've snoozed my alarm and I'm sleeping, you know, not going to lie. And even today, guys, on my days, I found it so ironic. So I was like, today I'm coming to speak about prayer. Today I woke up late, did not do my 5 a.m., did not. Listen, hold my hands up. You know, it was like, cool, I had my alarm. One thing about me is I'll set bare alarms. I set 5, I set 5:01, I do 5:03, I do 5:05. Like, I'll be doing it 2 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minute, because I'm like, okay, in between I get mini naps. So it's like the 5:01 one, then the next one's 5:03. I'm like, okay, I get 2 minutes sleep. And for me, I'm just calculating it like, cool, them 2 minutes is gonna boost my energy. But I just think altogether, just don't snooze your alarm. Don't just wake up to the first one. Otherwise, the longer you keep hearing it, it's just like, nah, forget it. And that was me today. So today, you know, I actually went to sleep late, maybe like near 1 a.m. or 1 a.m. And I didn't have any reason to go to sleep at that time, to be honest. I was celebrating my friend, like, their birthday, literally. So I was just posting them. But I could have done that in 5 minutes. I didn't have to go to sleep that late. Honestly, I had no reason. And when I saw the time I went to bed, I said, yeah, it's going to be a long day waking up at 5. That's what I also think. Waking up early is actually all to do with your mindset, because if I had like a flight and I went to sleep at 1 a.m., I will still wake up at that 5 that I need to wake up to catch the flight. So I always think it's just your mindset. Like, when I go to bed thinking, yeah, it's late, I'm not waking up at 5, best believe I will not wake up at 5. That's just it. That's for me. It's like, when I go to bed saying, no, I am going to wake up at 5, I pray, say, Jesus, help me, I have to wake up at 5, I wake up at 5. But when I'm like, nah, then I won't wake up. Just saying, that's a trick. You always have to, it's in the mind. So yeah, today I snoozed the alarm and then I heard it again. It was so loud. You know that triggering alarm sound? That's the one I have, because I need it. I need it to be triggered. And some people have some sweet sounds. I'm like, I can't have sweet sound because I would just not wake up. So I have the triggering one. And it went off. It was loud. It was so loud. Okay, I said, cool. The next one, I'll wake up to the next one. The next one comes. I'm moving it now to the next one. Next one comes. And all of a sudden, I'm even sleeping through the alarm. Guess what time I woke up? I woke up at 7. Yes, I woke up at 7. So from 5 to 7. And Just when you sleep, yeah, it does not feel like it's 2 hours. It felt like 10 minutes. It felt like it was not long at all. When I opened my eyes, I said, Lord. And bear in mind, I just woke up at that time because I didn't have another alarm. I just woke up and said, Lord, what have I done? Today I started at 10. So yeah, as a result of that sleep, it was just that. And I was just like, you know what? I was like, it just reminded me of the disciples. Because you know, in Matthew 26, like Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he invites some of the disciples. He's like, you know, watch and pray, come join me, pray. And then he comes back and the disciples are sleeping. And he's literally getting, he's like, guys, like, could you not wait just 1 hour? Like, could you not? And then he goes and again, they're sleeping. It's like, I just felt like, you know, in that time, I felt like them. I said, wow, I could not wake up and pray, watch and pray just for 1 hour. I couldn't, you know. I was sleeping and I said, Chai, honestly, I hear it. I said, I hear it. The way that the eyes were heavy, the Bible even said the eyes were heavy. I said, yeah, that was me today. It was heavy. That's why I just went back to sleep. I said, listen, forget it. But that's how I just understood that prayer is actually very spiritual. Like, you actually have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. Like, even just waking up early, because the reason why I'm waking up early is to pray, to read my Bible. Like, it's for a reason, you know? And so even doing that, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, in your own self, like, why would your flesh want to wake up and pray in the morning when you can be sleeping in your bed? What? So even like scriptures like Ephesians chapter 6 verses 18 saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. And Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people, like, when they see scriptures like praying in the Holy Spirit, like, they will essentially think of blessing in tongues. And yeah, tongues, obviously praying in the Spirit. But there's a way that you pray in the Spirit. And I was even looking at the Greek word. Guys, it's so funny because in my last episode with Zenya, I was talking about like reading the Bible. And I was literally like, yeah, every time when people read the Bible, sometimes they think they have to get the Greek word. Even to be honest, I am a Greek word bandit. Like, I love the Greek words, because when you actually study your Bible and you go and see the Greek word, I'm telling you, you'll get some nice revelations. So yes, the Greek word here translated for pray in can have several different meanings. So it says that it can mean by means of, or with the help of, or in the sphere of, and in connection to. So essentially, when you're praying in the Spirit, it's not necessarily just the words, like, okay, I'm just speaking in tongues, but it's actually with the help of the Spirit. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying with the help of the Spirit. So, you know, in Romans, when it says like, sometimes you don't know what you should pray for, but the Spirit helps you in your weakness. So it says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Amen. But it's like, when sometimes you don't know what to pray for, and it's like, some people are like, okay, cool, like, I want to pray, but I don't even know what to pray for. But it's like, actually just ask Holy Spirit, like, lead things on my spirit. Like, before, I used to write down prayer points. So like, before I'd go into a place of prayer, or before I'd start like speaking, I'd just literally start writing down prayer points. So whether it's like intercession for friends, intercession for family, Holy Spirit, every day praying for the Holy Spirit, trust me, I need the Spirit. Thanksgiving, forgiveness, like those kind of key prayer points, I do it and then I just follow it. Now I'm more so like, just Holy Spirit guide me. Like, I literally, when I go on my prayer walk, I don't have no prayer points that I've written down. It's just like Holy Spirit led. So literally praying in the Spirit is what I do every day. Like, Holy Spirit help me. And sometimes when I don't know, then I can switch to the realm of tongues and start speaking in tongues. And then sometimes when I start speaking in tongues, it helps me to be like, oh, actually, let me pray about this thing. So tongues also can help you. It can kind of charge you to like be like, cool, I'm going to pray about this thing. So yeah, praying in the Spirit doesn't only mean praying in tongues. Because if you don't pray in tongues, doesn't mean that you can't pray in the Spirit. No, ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you as you pray, literally. And he will. He always will. So yeah, now we're going to go into what is prayer. What is prayer? So I kind of give you some background, told you a lot about me and what I do, and the fact that today I overslept. Yep, very sad, very shy. I was just like, God, how can these things be on the day that I'm talking about prayer? Me, I should have woken up at 3 a.m. and start travailing. But you know, that's just, even just shows, yeah, the frailty of man, the human limitations. Yeah, today it was deep. But what is prayer? Prayer is a total reliance on God. When you pray, like, it shows that you rely on God. So I was like, you know what? Prideful people actually cannot pray. When you're prideful, you believe that, yeah, I am, like, I can do all things, like, I'm calm, like, you will never pray, because why should you pray if you feel like you got everything? It actually takes humility for you to pray. And I said, prayerlessness, yeah, it's a sense of pride, because we pray because we actually trust in him. We trust that God is sovereign. We trust that God's will, you know, is better. So we always pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, I thought about it, because some people are like, you know, I can't pray, like I can only pray for 2 seconds. But I was like, sometimes like you it's easy for you to be on the phone to somebody for hours on end, and you can speak and never run out of things to say. But when it comes to prayer, it's like, no, I can only pray for 10 seconds. And with prayer, it's not necessarily like the length, like the duration of the prayer that you do. So it's like, oh, if you prayed for 2 minutes only, then it's nothing. Like, no, that's not the case of it. It's like, you must consistently find yourself in a place of prayer, but you don't have to pray necessarily for 3 hours on end. Obviously, by God's grace, determine that you will increase your prayer time, because it's like, when you first get to know someone, maybe you won't be able to speak for as long as you can when you know them a lot. So it's like, as the more you grow and know Jesus more, you can flow and speak for hours on end, you know. And so the Bible tells us that we must pray without ceasing. Like, it literally means continually coming to him. Like, never get to a place where it's like, oh, okay, I've prayed. Because I think sometimes it's easy, like, even for me, it's easy to be like, oh, I've prayed for 1 hour in the morning, so cool, like I've already prayed, I don't have to pray again. But the Bible says pray without ceasing, which means never stop praying. Like, never ever get to a place where you're never in a place of prayer. Like, always determine that every single day you're going to be praying. And Luke 18:1 tells us that men always ought to pray and not to faint. So for me, it's like, if it says you should always pray and not faint, then if you're not praying, you're fainting, you know. And so I was just thinking, when I was doing the study all my days, like, I was literally thinking about how the disciples were like, teach us to pray. And I was literally doing a study on it, and I was thinking all my days, like, it's so interesting that he said teach us to pray. And I was like, do you know what, like, they definitely would have seen him praying constantly, and then they wanted that. So it's like, they said teach us to pray, like, they understood that Jesus was always praying. So there was like, I need to get some of that. Like, every time he's never stopping praying, I can see him praying. They're like, no, I actually need that. And it was so interesting, because the scripture says teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. And I was like, for that, it just shows that they understood that prayer is not like a set way, like, this is exactly how you pray. But it's like, rather, they were relying on the Holy Spirit, and they understood that prayer, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to be able to pray. And another thing that I saw, which was so nice, is that in the Lord's Prayer, if you see the Lord's Prayer in the Matthew account and then you see it in the Luke's account, it's slightly different in terms of the phrase and the wording, but everything is the same in terms of, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, you're literally, everything is the same, but slightly different in terms of wording. And I was literally studying, I was like, wow, like, why is that? And it was like, it just shows that prayer, like, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray and what to say, like, he's showing that there's not a precise ritual. It's not like a magic formula, like, okay, this is exactly how you pray. But he was giving us kind of the foundation, the basis of what you pray about. So when you come before God and you pray, you have to, you know, bless his name first. You have to say, Lord, you are, you know, you are exalted, you are holy, you are hallowed be your name. Like, he was giving us that, but showing us that it's not just like, okay, let me just copy this prayer and it's just a magic spell. He was showing us that prayer is deeper than that. You know, you must pray in the Spirit, relying on the Spirit. So now I'll go into why should we pray. You know, I think it's so easy to be like, okay, cool, like, you know, prayer, but why should we actually pray? And I was like, guys, listen, I'm gonna give you some tips today on why we should pray. Firstly, because Jesus tells us to, like, period. I think even that alone, I should tell you and take it like that. But as I said earlier, I'm in the book of Matthew. So in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I was looking at the scripture, and when I was studying this the other day, so like 3 chapters ago, because today was chapter 9, I was like, wow, the Bible says when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray. Like, Jesus was literally, you know, this is the beatitude, you know, he's given them Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, and he's still flowing in chapter 6, and he's telling you when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray, which shows that prayer is a thing that is just actually normal. Like, it's not something extravagant. Like, oh, as a Christian, you're praying. Wow, amazing. No, it's when you pray. The same way it says when you fast, that means fasting is also just a normal thing for a Christian. And it said, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your father. So the key things that I was focusing on is the your, because it says shut your door. So it made me think that sometimes the only time some people pray is when they're at church, but when they're by themselves, when they're at home by yourself privately, you don't have a private prayer life. You only have a corporate prayer life. And I was like, that's not actually how we're supposed to be. Like, the Bible actually says when you pray, you have to shut your door. And then it also says your father. So it was just so interesting because I was like, yeah, like, if God is your father, it's you have that personal relationship with him. You don't only wait till you're at church corporately for you to be able to pray. No, you'll be able to pray even when you're at home, you know. And the key, I was looking at also, you know, I'd be loving my Greek words, as I said. And the Greek word for the room in here, because it says, you know, shut your door in other, well, it says go into your room, right? And so the Greek word for room was used for a storeroom where treasures were, where treasures were kept. And so for that, from that, I got that there's actually treasures that are waiting for us in our prayer closet. And then when I was kind of studying that, I was thinking about Daniel. Like, it's so deep. When I read the book of Daniel, love Daniel, love that man. Like, he's such a man of prayer. And we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, like, coming to him, like, coming and saying, like, hey, like, people need to tell me my dream. Like, he's asking the people to tell them, to tell him the dream that he had and also the interpretation. It's crazy because he didn't even remember his own dream, but he's like, listen, you have to tell me, one, you have to tell me what my dream was and also the interpretation. I find that crazy. It's like, you yourself had the dream. Was that in your head? I was in your head. How am I going to know the dream that you've had? Tell me how. How am I going to know that? I don't know what your dream was. If you can't tell me the dream, how can I tell you the dream? But Daniel said, listen, nothing is too big for my God. Nothing is too big for prayer. I'm going to enter that secret place. I'm going to shut my door and I'm going to pray. So this man prayed and then he dreamt the same exact dream. So he got the dream, the revelation. And that's what I thought of when I said there's treasures waiting for us in our prayer closet, because there's actually so many things that you can get in a place of prayer. When I'm in a place of prayer, there's so many things that I get. I'm telling you, when I'm in prayer, things just start to flow. Then I'll be like, oh, like, even if it's a podcast episode idea that comes, you know, like I said, I was actually praying, like, God remind me. And then I was like, oh my days, let me do an episode about prayer. About even sometimes I'm like, okay, praying, what should I say in the episode? Then it will just start flowing. I'm telling you, so many things are birthed in the place of prayer. And that's why, like, sometimes it's so hard to pray consistently, because there's actually mysteries, there's treasures, like, waiting for you in that prayer closet. If only you would just go to your, shut your room, shut your door and actually just pray, like, you will actually be able to have those treasures revealed. And yeah, so in Psalms 32 verses 6, it says, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. So literally the scripture says that everyone who is godly shall pray to you. So if you, you know, you're godly, you're a woman, a man of God, you should be praying. Like, it's literally in the scripture that they will be praying to you. That's just it. Like, we will be praying. Another reason why we should pray is to see results. So I love this scripture, and I always use the scripture when it's like, yeah, you need to get fervent, like, you need to be travailing, you have to push in prayer, you can't get tired, like, in fasting seasons, and we're like, yes, don't get tired, you keep pushing, because fasting prayer times get deep, but I mean, it should always be deep, isn't it? But fasting, hi, we getting deep. So there's a scripture that says, until Zion travailed. And when you kind of understand this scripture, it's like referring to it as a state of, like, intense, difficult prayer, like, that a spiritual struggle, like, you're pushing so much in prayer so that something can be birthed. And so obviously this one was talking about, you know, Zion, the church, you know, travailing before the birth of spiritual children or a nation. So it says the term travailed means to experience the painful, exhausting process of childbirth, symbolizing the earnest prayer and exertion required to bring forth spiritual results. So yeah, there's some times where you have to pray, like, intensifying, you know. For me, like, the prayer that I love is the prayer when, obviously, like I said, I do my prayer walks, and I'm not, like, intensifying, like, blasting in tongues on the streets. Like, I actually just do, like, literally just communication with God. Like, there's different types of prayer, you know. There's a prayer when you're, like, blasting in tongues, you're sweating, you're, like, going ham, and there's a time for that. the prayers that I love is just communication with God, where I'm just like, yeah, just speaking with God. I love those type of prayers. But yeah, there is a time where you have to travel, you know, to push, to give birth to, you know, your spiritual baby, and something to birth, to, you know, exertion required to bring forth spiritual results. So yeah, another reason why you should pray is to see results. And I also said that it can also change, like, people's hearts to be able to pray. Like, on the back of prayer, I've seen people who, by God's grace, like, I was trying to, you know, God used me to bring this person to Christ, you know, I know them, so they need to give their life to Christ, like, they're my friends, so they, I want them to come to Christ. And prayer can change the tide. Like, I've had to pray for someone for years before seeing them being saved, but, you know, as I was praying, the seeds were being sown, and by God's grace, today they're in Christ. So it's like prayer can even change, like, actually save somebody from going to hell, like, just from you interceding for them. You know, we're called to also intercede for people. Don't only pray, Lord, can I have this, can I have this, can I have this, but pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And also pray for your people, like, that they will be saved. Believe in God that you will see a change in whoever is life. And because I've seen that literally many times, or I've got at least three people that I can say, Lord, he actually helped whilst I was praying and travailing. God really done his thing. Another thing is prayer can bring you into alignment with God. You know, like, that's why I love fasting and prayer, because when you're fasting and praying, it's just like you're just empty from, like, food and from junk of the world, because you spend so much time with God. And it's like now you're just so much in alignment with him. When you pray, it's like you'll be praying alongside the things that he desires, his will. Because it's like the Bible, I think it's in James, when it talks about, like, you know, you're praying because you don't receive it because you're asking amiss. And it's like, if when you consistently pray, you are actually just in alignment with God. So when you ask for things, that's why I said, if you ask for things according to my will, you have those things. So it's not like just ask anything. When he says ask anything in my name, like, you'll receive it, it's because you are somebody that is subject to his will. So when you're asking for things, it is in alignment with his will. And so, yeah, it's so important to be in alignment with God. And I said an example of that is back again to Matthew 26, the Garden of Gethsemane. We're seeing Jesus here. I was literally looking at the verses and I was like, wow, this is really interesting, because we see Jesus went back three times to pray the exact same prayer. I was like, wow, this one, hey, is deep. Jesus was praying, obviously, if there's any other way, let this cup pass by me. But you know what? Nonetheless, like, nevertheless, let your will be done and not mine. He went back to the disciples. They were sleeping. Then he went a little farther and it literally said he prayed the same exact prayer, saying, Lord, if they didn't let your will be done, he went back. He went back again and prayed the same prayer. And I was like, this is so interesting that he's praying the same prayer three times. But it was like, then after the third time he prayed, then he went to the disciples and said, you know what, the hour is at hand, like, it's time type thing, like, I'm gonna be brought to the hands of lawless men and etc. And it's like, to me, it just showed that you must pray until you receive that clarity, until you receive that strength, etc. Because obviously in that time, like, we know that Jesus is truly man, truly God, so at that time, you know, he would be able to feel everything on the cross. And in that time, it's hard, it's like, oh my days, like, God, you know, are you sure, like, is there any other way, like, can we not do something else, you know? And in that time he's praying to be able to be brought into alignment with the Father's will. And then, you know, he receives the peace, the strength, the clarity on it, and just everything. And it's like, I always say, don't exit prayer the same way you came. Like, if you're praying about a certain thing, Philippians chapter 4 verses 6-7 tells you that, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says, the peace that surpasses all understanding will rule your heart, will guard your heart. And it's like, for me, I love that. That's one of my favorite scriptures, and I love it. And I always say, listen, if the Bible is talking about in verse 6, telling you to be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything, and then verse 7 talks about the peace of God, for me, it's like, okay, that means that when I pray about everything, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to rule my heart. So after I've prayed about this situation, I should leave, you know, my prayer closet, my prayer room, not feeling burdened, heavy, stressed about that thing, because I've casted it all onto God. That's how we should be, you know? And so I was like, listen, it's so, keep praying until you get that peace, that clarity, like, never stop showing up, never stop praying. We see in Luke 18, when it talks about the parable, like, of the persistent widow, this, like, she was persistent. And, you know, in that, it was teaching us to be persistent in prayer. To be persistent in prayer, like, never stop coming before God continually about a matter. Like, I'm gonna keep praying about it. And I just thought about the implications of prayerlessness and like why some of us don't pray. Because some people actually don't pray and you don't realize that there's implications of prayerlessness and there's reasons why you don't pray. And I just thought of some things. Like I said this part earlier, I said that prayerlessness is a sense of pride. Like it literally shows pride because you pray because you trust in him. So prayer is literally the evidence of your reliance on God. So an implication, like why you're not praying, is because you're actually prideful. You need to humble yourself and show that, listen, you don't know everything. You need to actually go before God and pray, because hello, that's just what we do. Number two, so this is what I said I would come to, literally, like I don't know how long ago I said I was going to come to this point. And I said, a reason why some of us don't pray is because we don't appreciate our liberty. And then it goes to, you know, when I was talking about how you can pray anywhere, you can pray in the shower, you can pray on your bed, you can pray outside, you can pray in the park, like you can pray anywhere. You don't have to pray a specific time. Like there's not a set time, like pray at this time, pray at that time, do this, do that. It's very free to be able to pray whenever. I said, sometimes people don't pray because you're not appreciating your liberty. And it goes to like, because people have set time to pray, they have to wake up at a certain time or they have to do it a certain way. They have to wash themselves before they pray and all that stuff. It's like they have a set thing to do. But because for us, we are so fine, like we can do it whenever. Sometimes we don't appreciate that liberty and we take it for granted. So it's like, instead of, you know, because you know that you can pray whenever, that whenever turns into never. So then you're never praying because you understand that, oh, I can pray whenever I want. I don't have to pray at this specific time. I don't have to do it at this specific way. So I'll just do it whenever. And then that whenever turns into never. And then you never pray. So it's so important that you don't just use the fact that, yeah, we are free and we can pray whenever, we can pray wherever. You don't use that as a means to not pray ever. Like, we need to make sure that we're praying. And I said another reason why people don't pray is because they're lacking intimacy, you know, because God is not your father yet. I feel like when you're close with a father and you have a father, realize that I can go to him for everything, you know, go to God and he's your best friend. He's your father. He's holy. He's on the throne. But it's like you go before him. But it's like if you don't have that relationship where he's your father, and you're his son, you're his daughter, then you're not going to be praying. So another reason why people don't pray is because they just actually lack that intimacy that you're supposed to have. So I said, like, you won't actually struggle to pray to God when you actually have that relationship. It's the same way with your earthly relationships, your best friend or your husband, your wife, whatever. It's like you're not going to struggle to talk to them, which is the same as prayer, communication. Like you're not going to struggle because you have that relationship. So it's just showing your lack of intimacy with God. It just shows that you don't have that relationship with him. But how do you have that relationship with him? You have to pray, you have to read your Bible, so you have to build it. And I said sometimes people actually overthink too much. That's also a reason why people don't pray, because often when people ask me, like, oh, people often say to me, like, if I'm like leading something and I'm like, okay, can you open us up in prayer, sometimes they're like, oh, no, I can't do it, like I don't know how to pray. And I always say, but you're overthinking it. Like, prayer is communication with God, so nobody really cannot know how to pray. Like, you just open your mouth and pray, and obviously, as I said, rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. So in that, another reason why people actually don't pray is because they're overthinking way too much. Like, you're like, oh, I don't even know what to say. But Jesus says, even before you ask, he knows what you're going to ask him. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. So it's like, you don't ever have to overthink when you go before God in prayer. Never, ever have that kind of guard up. Even the Bible says that, listen, we have a high priest. It says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, because he was there at all points tempted, yet without sin. It says we should boldly go before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So you can actually go before God with a level of boldness. Like, when you go before his throne, when you go before him in prayer, you shouldn't go before him scared, I can't have access to you. No, we actually have unlimited, unrestricted access to him, day in and day out, because even the Bible says that we have a God who doesn't sleep nor slumber. So God is never sleeping. He's never sleeping. Like, at 3 a.m. if you wake up, you might want to speak to your friend, they're sleeping. Me, I'll be sleeping. But God, he's not sleeping. So you can go before him at all times, continually. He's never sleeping, nor is he slumbering. So yeah, just overthinking is a big thing for lack of prayer, because it's like, oh, I don't know what to say. What if I say the wrong thing? Or should I come and say, thou art holy? And like, some people try to put up a facade when you're going before prayer and saying all these big words, but it's like, you don't even speak like that. You don't even understand what you're even saying. When I pray, like, I'm actually just talking to God like my best friend, because literally he is like my best friend who I speak to every day continually. So I have no need to be acting a certain way or pretending that I speak a certain way. Like, I just pray and speak as it is, you know? And now I wanted to go into examples of people who prayed, and we can see the fruit of it. So when you see like example of people who pray, you say, wow, like prayer actually can do things. Prayer can actually change the tide. So you finna gonna pray all the time. An example of somebody who prayed is Hannah. Hannah prayed a prayer of desperation. This woman, she wanted a child. She cried out. This woman, even Eli, he saw her and he thought, listen, oh, she's drunk at this time. She thought, hey, this woman is crazy. But it wasn't that. It was that she was just desperate in prayer, crying out to God. That's the type of prayer, you know, a desperate prayer. Hannah, she did a desperate prayer. And then we see Zechariah. He also did a prayer of desperation. You know, he heard, Hezekiah, he did a prayer of desperation. You know, he was told that, okay, you have this, you're literally set your house in order, you're about to die. This man turned his face to the wall and he prayed, said, Lord, remember me, remember me. He was praying. And because of that, God said, I will add years to your life. So we see the fruit of somebody's literally told they're going to die. And this man said, I refuse to let that be my reality. I'm going to pray. And as a result of Hezekiah's prayer, turning his face to the wall and travailing, he lived longer. Another person I said is David. David, when he wanted to go to battle, like he was inquiring of the Lord, should I go up? Should I go fight this battle? Are you going to help us have this victory? You know, is this the battle that you want me to do? He kept inquiring of the Lord. That's something that's so important. Continuously going before God, even when he just did one and he asked God, he said, okay, cool, I'm going to ask again. Like he was just somebody who's always inquiring of the Lord. And then Daniel, like I was speaking about Daniel earlier, and it's like his custom was to pray 3 times a day. When I read the book of Daniel, I'm always like, yes, this has to be my custom. Like I gotta pray 3 times a day, because wow, this man would pray 3 times a day. That like, even when they try to say like no one can pray to any other god, like you gotta bow down to us, you gotta pray to us, he said, listen, he still went up to the rooftop and did his custom, because it was a custom. It wasn't religious, like it was actually genuine. So even when they try to tell him, no, you can't do it, he still did it because it was a custom. It was actually genuine, like for him to always pray. He realized, I have to rely on God. So those are people, examples, only a few examples of people who prayed, and we really, really saw the result of prayer. And like it just stands to suggest and just shows us that prayer is literally so key. Like there's so many like benefits of prayer, and you will see God show up. And you know, some people say, okay, but I pray but I didn't hear anything. But it's like, understand that God speaks in so many ways. I remember to share this story, like when I was new in the faith, I think it was like 2020 or 2021, and I would pray and I would be praying. I said, God, like I'm always praying and I never hear from you, like I never hear your voice. That very day, like I was reading 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 3, if I'm right, I don't know. And like in that, obviously, God is calling Samuel, but it says that he didn't yet know the voice of the Lord. And I literally, as soon as I finished prayer, I read that and I was like, whoa, this is so deep, because it's like God was always calling, but he just didn't know the voice of the Lord yet. And obviously Eli had to guide him and say, oh, okay, after like the third time, that okay, it's God, you know, respond, say, here am I. And it's like in that time, like when I had prayed, I said, God, but I'm always praying, but you know, you're never actually saying anything. So I felt like that, like, rah, like I'm always praying, but like, where's the answer? And in that time, he was literally showing me that, listen, I'm always speaking, like God is a speaking God. But it's just about if you tune your ears to hear, if you even know his voice. And how do you know his voice? From you reading the word. As you read the word, you get to know how he speaks. Sometimes you can think, oh, you know, it's just me that thought of this thing, or it's just me that said it. But the spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are son, that you are a child of God. So it's like, even in that, sometimes I'm thinking something and it's like, it's so in alignment with God that it's like, you might think it's you might think it's God. And then it's just so like, oh my days, is this me? Is this God? But because you're in so much alignment, it just works. So even with that, not overthinking too much, like, oh my days, I don't know his voice. He actually is always speaking. I did an episode about hearing God's voice. So if you want to know about that, go watch it. I'll put it on the eye. If you're listening on Google, Apple Podcast and Spotify, then just, you know, scroll down, you'll be able to see it and stuff. But yeah, I did an episode on hearing God's voice, so I won't go too much into that. But yeah, honestly, God is always speaking God. I spoke about in that episode, the still small voice. Honestly, I would encourage you, powerful episode, if I do say so myself. And now I wanted to go into what happens if you don't pray. I said, well, what happens if you don't pray? Literally was researching and asked my mom. I was like, do you know like any examples of people in the Bible who like, they didn't pray and it cost them, you know? And something that I seen was in Joshua 9. So in the book of Joshua, the leaders of Israel, they were deceived into making a covenant with their enemies, the the Gibeonites, yes. So essentially, like, the Gibeonites were, you know, they were fearing the Israelites because they had just, like, conquered Jericho and Ai. And so they used old clothes and stale bread to trick the Israelites into believing they had traveled from a distant land. So they were using deception here, like, no, I'm afraid of you, just won this battle, so let me come and trick you. And so they sought to, like, have a peace treaty with Israel. So they're going before them disguising, so they're not going to know that, oh, you're the enemy, like, you're not actually for us. They're disguising and they're coming to say, yes, let's have a peace treaty. Cool. And because of the lack of prayer, their leaders, they didn't inquire of the Lord. They ended up doing something that's costly, you know. So the leaders of Israel, they did not inquire of the Lord before making that decision, as you see in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 9. And as a result of that, they just trusted in their own judgment. And then you see that they swore an oath to spare the Gibeonites' lives. And it's like, at the end of the day, some things can seem good. Like, it could have seemed so good. Somebody's coming to you and saying, oh, let's have a peace deal. Okay, let's sign this peace treaty. Cool. It sounds amazing. They might think, okay, cool. Actually, I don't need to pray about it. I'll trust my judgment. But even in things that seem good, always pray. Always, always pray, because it can seem good. It can seem good, but it's not God. It can seem like, okay, cool, this is a good opportunity. But really, it's actually not from God, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 11 verse 14, it talks about how Satan and his messengers can disguise as angels of light. So it's like, it can seem like, oh my days, this something is so amazing. This thing is so good. This has to be from God. But you haven't inquired of the Lord. Regardless of if it looks like a good opportunity, always go before God and say, this opportunity seems good, but is it in alignment with your will? Is this actually what you have called us to do? Or is this something that is not of you? You always have to inquire of the Lord. So they didn't inquire of the Lord. And as a result, they went and even swore an oath to spare the Gibeonites, the enemy. They said, I'm going to spare your life. And they had to live with that, because when you swear an oath, you can't come and now take it back. No, let your yes be yes. When you've said something, that's it. You're bound by your words. So 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were actually the neighbors, you know. And yeah, because they didn't pray for it, they made a rash decision. They just thought, cool, like, I don't need to inquire of the Lord of this very thing. It just caused major problems for Israel in the future. And they were bound by the oath, like I said, because when you've said something, it's come out your mouth, that's it. You literally, you've said it, it's it. So they couldn't destroy the Gibeonites completely. They were bound by that very thing just because of their lack of prayer. So it's so important. And then obviously we can go back again to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is telling them, pray, you better watch and pray. As a result of their lack of prayer, we see what happened. Peter, our dear Apostle Peter, what happened? He denied Jesus. Like, he went and denied Jesus 3 times. But it's like, if you actually think about it, if he actually prayed for that 1 hour in the garden, as Jesus had said, listen, he would have had the strength to be able to not deny Jesus when the time came. Obviously, we know it's the will of God, sovereignty of God, but also equally, like, God never forced him to deny him. Like, God never forced him. It was just him because of his lack of prayer. I'm telling you, if that man stood there and travailed in prayer, he would have had the strength, the spirit to actually not deny Jesus. So that's also the result of a lack of prayer. So that happens if you don't pray. Like, we see that Jesus even said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So it's like, also, for you to avoid temptation, the temptation of for Peter to even deny Jesus, if you could just pray, if you just had only prayed for that an hour, you would have been able to stand. So after we saw that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and then the disciples, we saw them scatter in fear, you know, so that is precisely the temptation that Jesus warned them against. If they all had prayed and not slept because their eyes were heavy, they would have been able to avoid that temptation that was ahead, to deny Jesus, to run away, to be afraid, if they had only just prayed. So yeah, I guess the last thing I kind of wanted to say is how to pray. What should I pray for? Obviously, I kind of spoke about how when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, they didn't say how to, because they understood that prayer is reliance on the Holy Spirit. So as I've said, prayer is just relying on the Holy Spirit. Don't overthink it. When you go before God in prayer, he actually just wants you to speak genuinely. Like in Matthew 6, when it has the Lord's Prayer in it, before it's talking about, don't be like, you know, the heathens, the Pharisees, like they're praying with vain repetitions, like they think because of their many words that they'll be heard, like they're praying in the like bait in the temple, in the synagogue, because they want everyone to see. They're standing outside praying, shouting loud, because they want everyone to see, I'm a prayer warrior, you know. It's like, don't do that type of prayer. That's not the prayer. It's the genuine prayer where your heart is genuine in this thing. Because if someone's doing the prayer of, oh, self-righteous, oh yeah, this, that, like we see in the temple, the Pharisee there praying, oh, thank God that I'm not like the tax collector. Thank God I'm not like this. Thank God I'm beating his chest saying, yeah, oh, I'm so happy that I'm like this. But then you see the person, he's beating his chest. He's at the back of the temple and he actually just feels like, I can't even look at God. Like, I'm actually shy. And he's just like, Lord, have mercy on me. Like, I'm a sinner. And God accepted that prayer rather than the one who was boastful and loud in the prayer. So it's not in the phrases that you use. It's not in the, oh, like, the, oh, yeah, I'm this amazing prayer. But it's in the heart posture. That's the prayer that God wants, when your heart is actually connected to this. You're not just doing it for the sake of tick box so you can send to your friend, oh, I prayed for 3 hours straight today. No, but your heart is actually genuine in this prayer. And I said, pray out loud, because in Matthew, like I said, Jesus said, when you pray, say. He says, say. He didn't say, when you pray, think. When you pray, yeah, no, when you pray, say. Like, pray out loud. Prayer is a thing that needs to be heard. Like, you're actually praying out loud. He says, say. Prayer is things that need to be said. You know, have you ever been in a prayer where sometimes you're talking and you start crying and you just have no words anymore? Yeah, deep. But when you pray, say. Make sure you're saying things to Jesus, because he wants to hear it. And don't ever be like, oh, but he already knows. He already knows. I'm not going to say. No, he knows, but he wants you to tell him, because he's saying, when you pray, say. If he didn't want you to tell him, then he would have told you that. But he said in his word, he wants you to say amen. So yeah, guys, essentially that was today's episode, prayer, all about prayer. Why should we pray? How should we pray? What is the cause of actual prayerlessness? Why do people lack prayer? You know, how can we pray? Just strengthening you to be able to pray. Listen, by God's grace, I have a consistent prayer life. You know, obviously, like I said, some days like today, I woke up at 7 a.m. when I wanted to wake up at 5. So yeah, not saying, oh yeah, I'm so perfect, I pray every day, I wake up at 5 and I'll be praying. Obviously, some days it just not be easy, cry. But it's the strength of the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit to actually keep me, because it's not easy. But guys, I hope that today's episode has encouraged you to understand the importance of prayer. I hope that as a result of today's episode, like, you will be somebody who will pray without ceasing, and not only just pray in the morning, but praying always. Like, when you have a decision, even praying for 30 seconds on your lunch break, praying here, praying there, just always being found in a place of prayer. You will just love it, you know, and you will grow and you will have that intimacy with the Father. And yeah, so I never, ever, ever end with an episode without giving somebody the opportunity to give their lives to Christ. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? Obviously, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again just to save you, then you will be saved. So John 3:3 says, unless a man be born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Being born again is literally accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you genuinely believe it in your heart, then confess with your mouth and repeat after me. Amen. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and on the third day you rose again just to save me. I repent for my sins and I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've given your life to Christ, as always, please, please reach out to me, because I know you can't do this journey alone. My Instagram is dd.kayy, dd.k, and I will literally be in touch with you and just help you along with this journey, you know? But yeah, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I am out. Bye, guys.